222 Blunt Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh. First for Jesus and all that he means to the believer. We thank you for this opportunity to hear your word. That the Holy Ghost and his anointed teaching ministry minister to us. Meet us where we are and then lift us to the place you'd have us to be. We thank you, God, for another opportunity to praise your holy name and to be in your sanctuary. And Lord, we pray that you would meet us afresh and deal with us and dwell with us so that you might receive the glory and we the good. In Jesus' name we pray, and the people of God said amen. Well, come on, say amen like you mean it today. Glory to God. I want to call your attention to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. And I just want to look at verse 7. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7. And it simply says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. May God add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in God's presence. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. There is a comparison between the ungodly man and the godly man in these verses that precede the seventh verse. Jeremiah is making clear what happens to the ungodly man, and then he turns his attention to the blessed man, the godly man, and shows a striking difference between the ungodly and the godly and what happens to the godless and the godly. And so one of the things that I think would be helpful to us in certainly bring to a forefront of our thinking would be how to be and to stay blessed. Because, you know, just because we're believers don't mean that we flow in the blessings of the Lord. And just because we come to church doesn't mean that the church is really in us. And so just because we carry, read, and may attend Bible study don't mean that we really have the fullness of understanding of the Word of God. Amen. And so one of the things that I wanted to deal with today and talk about is understanding the blessed state of a happy man, of a happy man. And I'm not talking about happy in the sense of happenings. I'm talking about happiness in the sense of having a right relationship with God. Because when it all boiled down, Jeremiah was really dealing with having a relationship with God. Not only the nation of Israel having a relationship, but the individual having a relationship. Because you may be a member of this or any other church, but if you don't have a relationship with God, then when you have a need to call on him, you are in a tizzy to get results because you have to go to the church. And sometimes the church can't do for you what you need to have the Lord do for you. And so look at what it says. Blessed. Say blessed. Blessed. Now, again, in other contexts, in Psalm 1, it said blessed, but it says happy. And then in other translations, this word blessed means happy. So one of the things you can contend with, and I concur, that when you're blessed, you're happy. That's why on Sunday mornings I question why, you know, you're not smiling and you ain't got no joy in your life. I don't care what's going on in your life if you're blessed. I don't care if you're going through a test. I say if you're blessed. I don't care if things are going awry. I said if you're blessed. One of the things you need to know, because you are blessed, the devil will mess with you, will try you because you are blessed. When you begin to realize this, you understand this, you begin to look for this, and therefore, listen, you gird yourself up, you prepare yourself, you guard your heart, you make sure you're ready to stand in the evil day against the evil one. You put on the whole armor of God because you're blessed. Blessed is the man, now look at this word, that trusteth, not trust, not trusted, E-D, but trusteth, which is a continual mode of trusting. Blessed is the man, here it is, that keeps on trusting God. See, you might have trusted for one thing, but then another thing has come up, and it's come up too quick, and you say, well, wait a minute, Lord. I thought you took care of all of this. But what you've got to know is when you trust him continuously, whatever God allows, he's assigned you enough power to walk through it, to go through it. You've got to trust his plan and not your plan. So it literally means the person, the man, the woman who continuously trusts in the Lord. In. Now, I don't want to pass that word up too fast because there are some things about it that I think you need to know. First of all, you can't trust in the Lord unless you have a relationship with the Lord. And see, a whole lot of folk are in the church, but they ain't really got no relationship with the Lord. So it says, blessed is the man that trusteth in. The in denotes the relationship that brings about the trust because you know him. You see, it's only when you know that you know what he is able to do that you don't have problems trusting him. One of the other words, and you'll see this through the text, that trust represents is confidence. So the question becomes, do you really have confidence in God? You see, you trust him because you have confidence in him. And if you have confidence in him, then you don't have no problem trusting him. Because one of the things you recognize is that the grace of God will never lead you where the power of God cannot protect you. The will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. And so when you begin to know how God operates and begin to understand God's word and begin to comprehend how God's will and his way is in operation, then you begin to recognize, wait a minute, I can trust God because he has proven himself. He's not a man that he should lie. He's been with me through this. He's been with me through that. He's been with me through everything that I've gone through and even things I didn't understand. God proved himself faithful. So here are some things that the believers need to understand about trusting God. It's only not when you're, blessed is the man who trusted in the church, but blessed is the man that trusted in the Lord. It's only when you're in the Lord, in the church, that you are able to live life more confidently. You begin to speak with the words of God, which says what God says. And see, the confidence comes, listen, not from you, but from his word. And if his word is in you and you are in him, then the confidence you have comes because you know he's able. If you know he's able, then you're worried not about what comes up or who comes up against you, knowing that God is on your side. Now look again, because I want you again to see. Now remember the word "in." It's a little word, but it's so necessary to understand how you are going to operate in the things of God. Trust in the Lord. Now, understanding him as Lord, that means you give way to his lordship. Knowing that you give way to his lordship because he is over all, in all. Everything that is because of him. When you understand who he is as Lord, then man, you don't have no problem with understanding God wants you to deal with this, go through this, have this experience, trust him, believe him, understand what it is that he wants to do, purpose your life for a specific period, for a specific place, for a specific mission. You begin to understand it's all because of what the Lord wants. Amen. When you begin to understand it's the Lord, here's what you begin to understand. He's not just in control of you. He's in control of everything that concerns you. If there's anything in this world, you know the Lord is in total control of it, though he may allow certain things to be. Never lose sight of the fact that the Lord is in control. Sometimes he allows the enemy to have a hand, a foot, a finger in your situation, just to remind you, you ain't all of that. God is still in control. And you wouldn't know that he's in control unless he showed up when things were not in control and things were chaotic and the devil began to boast himself like he's the winner. And God just want to make sure that you have confidence in him, trust in him. And when the devil is shouting and he's parading like he has won, you let him know, no, this thing ain't over. Because God has the last word. Here's what you need to know when you're going through something. You know, and the devil likes to get in your ear, likes to get in your head, likes to get in your eyes and show you stuff all that seems contrary of God. Here's what you need to know. If the last word in God's word, it ain't over. Y'all ain't getting me. I said if the last word, I don't care what was last said. I said the last word, if it isn't God, then it's not over. I don't care what it looks like, what it feels like, what you're going through, where you are, who's against you. All of those circumstances mean nothing if God hadn't spoken. Now look at this here, because I need this. This joins in with the next part of this verse. And is that connective conjunction. It is the hinge that holds the door together. And what I like about a hinge is it opens up and closes up. And I like to put it this way, is so you can go out and come in. And when your enemy, you can run into your refuge and close the door and he can't come in. And he protects you from the storm and you've got shelter. But when you need to go out and get, you've got the ability, the liberty to move. So look at this word "and." It hinges this door on understanding both the first part and the second part. And whose hope the Lord is. Now look at this again. And whose hope. A careful study of this word "hope" in this context reveals three words. It's trust, it's confidence, and it's refuge. The word "hope" is inclusive of the word trust, confidence, and refuge. Well, another way of saying it is, the Lord is my trust. only is he my hope, but he's my hope because I trust him. In other words, hope helps me to hold out till the manifestation of his promise comes. But because hope helps me hold out, it's got to be substantive enough for me to hold on to when I can't see nothing. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hope reminds me when I want to throw my hands up and surrender, when I want to wave the white flag of surrender, when I want to say I can't take it another day, when I can't go another step further. Hope reminds me he has never failed me yet. So don't give up on him. Hope. But it's because trust is in hope. And then what I like about hope and trust is they remind you of other folk who's been through some stuff that's far worse than your little stuff. You start talking about this and you're going through this and you're going through that, and you start reading in the Word of God about some people who really had some issues. And hope say, listen, if he could do that, don't you think he can take care of your situation? If he could bring them through this, don't you think he can bring you through that? Hope just reminds you, because they trusted God, that's what you got to do in order to be where God wants you to be and become what God wants you to become. So you trust him. The Lord is my trust. But then look at this. What else it says? The Lord is my confidence. I'm not confident in John Montgomery. John Montgomery didn't let me down too much. There were things John Montgomery told me he was going to do, he didn't do. For me. So I ain't got no confidence in this flesh. I mean, I want to do good. Made my plans to do good. But John Montgomery let me down. So I ain't got no confidence in him. Yeah, I'm talking about me, but I'm sure talking about you too. Looking at me like I'm the only one here talking. How many times you said you were going to do something and you didn't do it even for you? How many times you said you wasn't going to do something and you wind up doing it anyhow? See, there should not be any confidence in this flesh. This flesh is too fickle, moody, temporal, weak. It ain't got enough stability for you to have confidence in. You get in the fight and you prepare and you train, get knocked out and knock all your confidence out you. One blow, boom. You scared to get back up. Oh, just let him count to 10. I don't even want to face no more of this. But the confidence is in the Lord. When you begin to understand this, the Lord is my confidence. So hope represents confidence. What is my confidence? That he's going to do it. That he's going to work it out. That he's going to make it happen. That he's going to show up when it's time for him to show up. That he's going to make everything work out the way it ought to work out. What's my confidence in him? That he'll never fail me. He'll never forsake me. He'll never leave me. What's my confidence in him? What he's done for others? He'll do the same thing for me. What is my confidence in that? Again, he cannot lie. Whatever his word says, my confidence is he'll do it. And that's why I got to learn to hold on to his word, because he honors his word. And then the last word that's reflected in this word hope is refuge. My brother, my sister, I don't know if you know it, but it really don't make no sense to go through all that life gives us as problems and issues if we don't have a place to go to. If we don't know where to go to. Israel had six cities of refuge. And if there were some issues and they ran to the city, folk couldn't come in there and do them anything until it had been properly dealt with. And every now and then your enemy will try to falsely accuse you. He hang your name out on the street, try to do you. But it's so wonderful to know you've got a refuge. A place of safety. That God protects you from the world and all of the influences of the world and all of the evils of the world. Isn't it good to know that the Lord is your refuge? Because there are times that you can't run to mama and you can't run to dad and you can't run to your husband or your wife or your sister, your brother, your friend. You can't run to nobody. But isn't it good to know you can always go to God? He is my refuge, whose hope, trust, confidence, refuge, the Lord is. Why stay in a place that beats you up and beats you down when you can run to your refuge? He don't talk down to you in the refuge. He builds you up. He encourages you. He shows you the light at the end of the tunnel. In the refuge, you are strengthened and you are healed and you are helped in the refuge. Why stay in a place in a situation and let the enemy continue to wear you down when you've got a refuge? My brothers, my sisters, when we look at this word and it closes, but it doesn't close without the last three words of verse 7. And it simply says, the Lord is. The Lord is. I was studying this text and I was in my study and I was looking at the text and all I got fascinated about in the beginning of the text, it was at the end of the text. Whose hope the Lord is. Whose hope the Lord is. And I just kept saying, whose hope? And I paused. And I said, the Lord is. And when I kept saying, the Lord is, certain scriptures just kept coming back to my mind. So I started doing a little research and I started looking at the text and I said, David, can you help me with this? I've searched the word and nobody says the Lord is more than David. So I figured I'd call an expert in on the Lord is in Psalm 18 and 2. Look at what David said. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. He is my buckler and my horn and my salvation and my high tower. Now that was all in 18 and 2. But I skipped on down to the most familiar psalm at 23 and 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He making me to lie down in green pastures. I skipped on over to 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation, Well, I wish I had a helper in the house. I skipped on to Psalm 38 and 10, a four where it says, taste and see that the Lord, yeah, the Lord, not worse, the Lord is good. And when you get to the place where situations, circumstances, troubles, and trials seem to beat you down, just remember he still is what he always was. He can do what he said he can do. I'm glad about it. The Lord is whatever you need him to be. He's my healer. He's my helper. He's my sustainer. He's my bridge over troubled water. He's my bread in a stormy land. He's my water. The Lord is. How many of you know what he is? What he is, not what he was. What he is, he still is. Tell somebody, the Lord still is. I said, the Lord still is. He's still Alpha and Omega. He still is the first and the last. He still is God all by himself. Can I get a witness? Say yeah! The Lord is. The doors of the church are open. The doors of the church are open. The doors of the church. If you just trust him. See, everything that you go through, everything that you deal with is really about trusting God. Because remember, the enemy can't do no more to you than God permits him to do. He can't test you no more than what God permits him to test you. Just trust him. The Lord is your helper, your way maker, your door opener. He still is what he always was. If there's one today, whoever you are, my brother, my sister, this is your time.
He will never leave you.
This is your time.
He will never leave you. Never leave you, Lord.
Never leave you, Lord. Brother God calls you.
He'll stand right by your side.
He will stand. Christian experience. By letter or to water baptism. Even if he's calling you to ministry work or to deliverance, know that your response is necessary for God to do his part. God bless you. God bless you. The Lord wants to remind somebody to trust him and to hope in him. As long as you're on this side of glory, the enemy will constantly try you. But the more he tries you, the stronger your trust ought to become in God. Because God never brings you out of one thing to leave you in another thing. It is to develop you, to make you better than you were before. Is there another today? Is there another? This is your time. God bless you. This is your time. this is your time.